Well, in the first article, I'll read again the answer to what does this mean to confess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe God's made me and all creatures. He has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my limbs, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. In addition thereto, clothing, shoes, meat and drink, house, homestead, wife and children, fields, cattle, all my goods. He provides me richly and daily with all that I need to support this body and life, protects me from all danger, guards me, preserves me from all evil, and all this out of pure fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I owe it to him, that to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus. Well, the Lord gives his gifts. The one who created us is also the Lord who sustains us. Every detail of our lives, every part of our person, down to the very number of hairs on our head, matter to our Lord. Jesus put it this way, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. His care for you isn't based on anything in you either. He doesn't care and provide for you based on your goodness, some sort of weird karma system that someone's come up with or you've come up with, or anything good that you do or have done, because truthfully, we know the scripture teaches that there's no good in us. So everything good is from God himself, for he alone is good and the giver of all good gifts. So real goodness must be given. It must be given to you. It's not from inside your heart, but it's given from outside of you. Everything that we have that's good, a great meal, good drink, clothing, friends, family, house, apartment, all kinds of things, movies. All of it we receive from the hand of our Lord as gift to us and for us. So it's important to know that good isn't just some arbitrary feeling that we have or some emotional or subjective thing that we decide whether something's good or not. But according to Genesis 1, God calls his creation good. And then when he creates man, he tells us for the first time that something's not good. Man is there alone. So he creates the woman, and the two are one flesh. And now he calls them very good. Now there's life that comes from this created man and woman. And we see that our Lord, our Creator, tells us that good is something that's definitive, that he gives, something objective towards the giving of life. It is towards the giving of life, the care of life, the sustenance of life, therefore it is good. So we give thanks, in fact, for all these things, knowing that they are from the Lord who cares for us and does so through the means and people, friends, family, pastors, relatives, co-workers. But these also, the means by which he cares for us, are his creative work also. In other words, our Lord uses his very creation to continue his blessings and to order all things toward life, care, sustenance, and enjoyment. An example of this is found when we pray for the Lord, as we do in the Lord's Prayer, to give us this day our daily bread. So he answers this prayer for us by means of his creation, through what we may look at as something that's just normal or natural. This is how our Lord answers this prayer. He gives this bread through the vocation of a farmer who grows the bread, the truck driver who delivers the bread, the grocery store, and the workers who stock the bread, and the clerk who checks us out to get the bread. He also gives us the job or the money to buy the bread. And what we may think is just something ordinary, God is doing extraordinary things for us and to us. His means of providing for us so that we give thanks for him in all these things, the God who gives us this day our daily bread. So not only does God use his gifts or his creation to provide for our physical needs, but he also gives us that which we desperately need spiritually. He does so and provides for us through created or physical means. This is the word and the sacraments. So ultimately, we receive all that is needed for us as sinners who are in need, the forgiveness of sins, the justification of us, the sinner, through physical means. So the gospel itself is given by way of God himself entering into created world. That's what Christmas is. This is the word becoming flesh. He came into material time and space, becoming one of us as the Son of Man to redeem us from all the devastation of sin, death, and the devil. Jesus himself is the gospel. He is the good news. And it's Jesus, the one who has come to save us from our sins, as his name reminds us, who was born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified as the Lamb of God who carries our sins, pays for them on a cross, and he does so for us and for our salvation in real time and space, in real material ways. So he ascends into heaven, and as true God and true man, the one who now speaks us righteous and feeds us his true body and his true blood for the forgiveness of our sins, he's the one as the Son of Man who stands in for us and stands in for all of humanity, having taken upon himself all the sin and all the shame of the world. Well, the author of Hebrews tells us that he doesn't do so reluctantly. He doesn't do so half-heartedly, but that he goes to the cross for the joy that was set before him. So his redemption of you wasn't done begrudgingly or reluctantly, but he does so joyfully and he does so willingly because he loves you. And all that Jesus accomplished for you, the shedding of his blood, is freely given to you through these same created means from the Creator himself. He gives to you through the work of the Holy Spirit, whom he gives through means that are material, real or actual, so there's certainty in what our Lord gives and what he delivers. So there's certainty how these gifts of salvation are received and where they're located in actual time and space. In other words, how we know where we go to be forgiven. So he speaks his gospel to you through a real preacher, a real person speaking. And he uses real words that you hear through your actual physical ears. The material or physically spoken word is used by our Lord, not in some hidden or subjective way of feelings that may be up one day, down the other, or something secret, but he preaches in the Lord's service publicly. It's done with witnesses, with two or three gathered in his name. So he has chosen that your faith is given to you through this preaching, which to some who don't believe is foolishness, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ preached to you. The Lord also places his holy name on you in holy baptism, where he uses real, physical, created water with his word to cleanse you and deliver the victory of his cross, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness now completely and certainly and definitively given to you. All gift. He gives this to you physically and actually so that you certainly know you belong to the Lord. You're his. Our Lord also gives his true body and true blood and the real wine and real bread of his supper, where he speaks to you and says, "This is my body given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And when our Lord speaks, he acts and he gives. He accomplishes what he promises and delivers exactly what he says, using the very things that he created to recreate us as new men and women in Christ, as his church, the people of his own making and remaking those whom he has repented and gathers to himself, whom he will be with always, even to the end of the age. Creation and redemption, our salvation from sin, is all his work, his gift, and he does it for you. And so Isaiah 35:10, as we read earlier, says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." In the name of Jesus, amen.